Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
So Kevin Stefanski was nice enough to come into the audio studios this morning and have a little conversation here on the station. It's always a pleasure to have him inside inside the building, and so we get a kind of a glimpse into his world and what's going on. I always think that Kevin's interviews, sometimes when they're not in the press conference situation, always seem to be a little bit better. Maybe just because it's easier, it's more relaxed, and it's just more direct. You know, it's just one on one.
Yeah.
And I think that's not saying anything negative about press conferences. That's just more about
press conferences are what they are.
Yeah, I think people get more comfortable when they're in a one on one situation.
Dan, that was for you.
Yeah. So you got that situation.
Mr. I hate press conferences.
Sorry, I got it recorded for posterity.
No, that's good. All right, so let's do this. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin, and he's Dan Bennigan over there. Dan, let's talk a little bit about one of those substantial things that Kevin talked about this morning, and it goes right into the heart of the matter. I think that all Browns fans want to know what's kind of the deal and the number of quarterbacks this team has.
Well, again, Kevin Stefanski on the morning show. If you missed that interview, you can catch it wherever you get your podcast. Of course, the website 92.3 The Fan as well. He was asked about the quarterback situation.
Out of your active quarterbacks, someone's got to have a leg up, right? You willing to tell me?
Yeah, I'm not willing to tell you.
That's a way to start the question.
Nice try. Yeah. We had an event down at the stadium, whatever it was, a week or so ago, a flag football event for young kids, and I got the quarterback question only 30 times or so from the kids. So we have a lot of young journalists in this town that are doing your jobs for you guys.
Did they have a favorite?
No, more, hey, you got four of them. Who's starting? I said, it's early, guys. Let's get through the offseason before we get there.
All right, so no answer. But, when you say we have four quarterbacks, you kind of...
He didn't say that. He said that's what the young kids were asking him.
About the four quarterbacks.
They said, you have four quarterbacks. If you listen to that, Kevin didn't actually say we have four quarterbacks. He said the kids are asking him and saying, yeah, you got four quarterbacks. Which one?
I'm surprised he didn't say we have five quarterbacks.
But he didn't say five.
No.
Can we put this to rest?
Sure. Happy to.
Chances are they have four healthy quarterbacks at the beginning of training camp and at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you end up getting another guy, then you'll have another. But until Deshaun Watson is cleared and is ready to play, can we just say they have four quarterbacks? Is that okay? I mean, clearly he's on the roster. Clearly he makes a ton of money. Clearly they have to pay him. Clearly if he's healthy and good to go, he's in the equation in some way, shape, or form. But right now, until we're told that he's able to practice and good to go, they have four quarterbacks. Is JOK part of the linebacker core? No, but we've already heard he's not going to play this year. We haven't heard that Deshaun is going to play this year. Until we hear that he is going to play, we have four quarterbacks. At least that's the way I approach it.
Yeah, I think you just need to have the fifth quarterback in your mind, in the back of your mind, whether you think he's playing or not, whether you think he'll ever play for the Browns ever again, that doesn't matter. He's still under contract. He's still getting paid by the team.
Yeah.
So, it would be like having any other player that's on the injury list.
Yeah, but
you got to recognize that they're still on the team at some point now, and wonder.
But until you're clear to play, Andy, you're not playing.
Correct.
So,
correct. Yeah. So,
right now you have four.
And then you can always wonder, and again, it doesn't matter what sport, it doesn't matter what position, it doesn't matter what their last name is. If you've got someone who's injured on your roster, there's always going to be question marks about whether they will ever be able to return to your franchise. I mean, it's just, especially when they're still getting paid, right?
He's getting paid. He's still a part of the franchise.
Yeah,
and if he's cleared, then he has to be in the equation. But until he's cleared, you have four quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I wouldn't expect Kevin to say anything other than the fact that we have four quarterbacks. And
well, remember, if you hear what he said there, he said the kids are saying, hey, you got four quarterbacks, which one? Now, he could have said, yeah, we have five, but he didn't. So until Deshaun is cleared, you're going to be dealing with Shadur and Dylan and Joe and Kenny.
Did he give us any insight there, Dan, into
none?
Any insight at all during this interview about who might be the leader in the clubhouse? Who are they looking at with more of an eagle eye? Who's going to get, you know, I know we always, I think that people think the magic question is who's getting more reps? And they think that they can say to themselves, well, whoever's getting more reps is definitely the leader. But he's already kind of addressed the whole rep thing. They're going to try to make it as equal as possible.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I don't think in this interview you're going to find any of those kind of answers. And frankly, it would be very anti-Kevin Stefanski if you did find those answers inside of this interview.
It's a good point.
I mean, if there's one thing with that guy, he plays everything very, very close to the vest.
And well, and let's be honest. We're sitting here in late May.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're looking for specifics, it's not even specific time yet. Nor is it mountain time.
Yeah.
No rim shot?
Rim shot.
That was close. Thank you, Andy. I appreciate that.
No problem. I gave you a verbal.
There are no real specifics to be had. You start training camp, you get out there, even next week when you start OTAs, you know, then things get a little more specific. Right now, it's like, hey, we have a collection of players and we'll be going through them. And I, you know, nothing that Kevin said was dodging anything. And, you know, the guys, I don't think we're in a position yet because of what I just said. It's not time for real specifics yet because Kevin can't give you specific answers. He's not seen all these guys and everything else where they want to be. And even if he has and has thoughts in mind, he's not going to share those yet. So,
yeah, I don't think
I enjoyed listening to him.
Hmm. Dan, what else did he, what other words of wisdom? Because I mean, yes, it's hanging with Kevin, but I don't know that we got much more out of it than that.
Yeah. The other one that we picked up on a little bit was he was asked about Kenny Pickett.
Kenny's really an interesting young player. And I say young, he played 2 years with the Steelers, had 1 year with Philly. They win the Super Bowl. So he's just in year four, a very athletic player, a guy who's had success, has won football games. There's a lot to like about Kenny, and he's young in his career. We feel like he has room to grow.
Does that give you any insight, Jeff? I mean, yeah. We've talked about this, and the people who seem to be around it and are not in the know, but I wouldn't say they're exactly in the room, but the people that I trust that might have a little bit more insight into this, I get that feeling that they want Pickett to be able to win this job, to be able to go out there and, you know, guide two young quarterbacks that are also in the waiting, and then we'll see what happens with Flacco down the road. I've talked to too many people that I think have intelligence on this and that are smart, and I just kind of feel like Pickett stands to be the guy that says hike for the first snap of the year.
I think if you look at the options, I think it's clear that this one could be the best one overall. And we went over this earlier in the week, Andy. Why would it be good if this guy were the starter?
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be good if Kenny Pickett were the starter because quite young. I'll say outside chance because that's what people want to hear. People don't want to think, wait a minute, that guy's going to be our starting quarterback. There's an outside chance he could be the starting quarterback here for a long time to come. You know, he was a first-round draft choice. He had some moments in Pittsburgh that were really good, and he had some that weren't. And then he went to Philadelphia. On one hand, I kind of give him credit because, you know, he went to Pitt, was with the Steelers for 2 years. They brought in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and he thought, I got to get the heck out of here or my career is done. At least I'm not looking at what he wanted to in as far as being out of Pittsburgh as a negative. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it as if I'd like to have a career in the NFL, I need to get the you-know-what out of here. And he did, and he went to a place where he was on a Super Bowl team, learned some more things, and then got his wish, basically got traded to a place where he can start again. Doesn't mean he will, but he can. And I think best-case scenario for this team is that he takes 3 years of learning in the NFL. And you know, I think it was Ken who asked him, you know, you've seen it with Geno Smith, you've seen it with Sam Darnold, Kenny Pickett, and that's what led to this question and the answer by Kevin. I think that completely. And if you could bring in a guy who has some starting experience, was a backup last year on the Super Bowl champ, learned some things, has been kicked around a little bit in the NFL, and gets an opportunity here, I think he's your best case scenario, at least as far as all of the ancillary stuff that I just threw out, you know, former starter, 1 year, Super Bowl, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter if he comes in and doesn't play well. If that's the case, all right, well, then you're going to start Joe Flacco or Dylan Gabriel or Shadur Sanders. So he has to come in and play well. If he does, Andy, I think he's best case scenario. I really do.
I see the same situation. Like, I think Pickett should be the guy that at least when they walk into camp and they finally say, okay, we've got all four quarterbacks here, like, I almost want Pickett to have the lead, and then if he's going to get knocked out, he's going to get knocked out. I've never really looked at a situation before with four quarterbacks and said, you know what, any one of these four guys legitimately could be the starter for the week,
you
for the
why?
Beginning of the season. I've never,
because
I don't
most
know
teams don't have four quarterbacks because they have one or two that they really like, who they think are the guy.
And then you've always got one guy that you're trying to groom to maybe be a better quarterback somewhere down the road.
Instead, our team's looking for, hey, anybody? Show of hands, Andy. Who can play quarterback?
I think they can. All four can play quarterback. The question is at what level, and is there any one of those four quarterbacks that can make this team a winner next year?
Well, there's the good question, isn't it?
It's not even about faith. And then you wonder, you know, what we see, and this is why I thought it was interesting that Kevin was on this morning, is sometimes a lot different than what the coaches see. And I mean, you can just go back to that bite that we played in the beginning of the show, where they see it as a chance to be an educator, where they see it as a chance to give someone the opportunity to grow into a position. And now all of a sudden, you're in this quagmire of things that
quagmire.
Yeah, you got to figure out a way to pick a starting quarterback out of this thing. I want to know what they're playing for next year. I mean, are they playing to
playing
win?
For wins.
Are they playing for wins? That's my question.
They have four quarterbacks. If you find one, I would think so.
Hmm.
If none of them, if they all stink, well, then you're not going to win anyway. I mean,
be winning for the next year because now you have two first round draft picks.
It's going to play itself out. If you have a quarterback, you're going to be better than people think you are. If you don't have a quarterback, well, then you're playing for a quarterback the next year.
I'm also wondering how he's going to view the two quarterbacks as they come in here, too. And, you know, you've said some stuff about, you know, being drafted in the third round or being drafted in the fifth round and what that means and how far that carries you with a little bit of swagger when you're in the locker room, or how far that carries you when you're talking to the quarterback coach or offensive lineman or trying to find your position on this team. And, you know, I think generally we all kind of look at it and say, well, when a guy gets drafted in the first round, he is creme de la creme, and he's on the fast track to being a regular everyday starter. But we don't feel that way about a guy that's picked in the third. We definitely don't feel that way about most guys that are picked in the fifth round. We almost expect them at this stage of the game to end up on the practice squad. But that's not the scenario that we're sitting at.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Right now with the Browns. So where will they go with that? Kevin Stefanski answered that question, and we're going to hear a little bit more about that when we come back. Kevin Stefanski was on the station this morning, and you'll have the opportunity to hear a little bit more of what he had to say. 216-474-0092. We'll get into that. Plus, we're also going to talk a little baseball later this afternoon at noon with Paul Hoynes, and we're going to get back into the NBA. Another game coming up here with the Eastern Conference Finals. Looking forward to game two in that, especially as that series unfolds with drama all the way around the outside of it. And then we'll talk about last night's game as well. Paul Hoynes joins us at noon. John Schumann at 1 o'clock.
Good Lord, man. You need a hug.
Oh, no, I don't. Life is good.
You need a three-day weekend.
No, I spent the whole day yesterday outside. Both of us, two knuckleheads out of track yesterday.
Oh, good gravy.
What time did you get home last night?
I rolled in probably about 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock I rolled in. Yeah, from where we were.
We went out and we went and grabbed something to eat. I don't know. I mean, I know that no one ever wants to hear about track. I love the sport because I never really was into it until
I love it at the Olympic level. Yeah. And then the way down. It's just a great sport.
The thing I think that makes it great is that, like, there's really, like, how do you complain? I don't really see crazy fans at track.
You know why you were never crazy about it? Dan was never crazy about it?
Hmm.
Why I was never crazy about it? Hmm. Although I love it at the Olympic level. Because we have bodies built to play third base. That's why.
Jeff. Probably true.
Throwers. That's why.
Bodies for throwers.
Yeah. I don't know. So I look at it and I just one of those sports.
What position did you play in baseball?
Third.
What did I play?
Third.
Dan, what did you play in baseball?
Catcher, third base.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. You're right, but I just think the thing about it is it's you against the clock or you against nature. Yeah. And it's not, and like, it's one of the few sports where you don't see, like, yeah, there's rivalries and there's stuff like that, and you can kind of get angry with somebody or something, but it just doesn't happen that way. And it's like, you can't argue against the clock. It's just the clock is what the clock is, unless they started it at the wrong time, which I've seen happen before too, or you get a bad measure or, you know, something's not right. But I just, and the other thing is like, compared to all of the sports, because I mean, God knows I've sat at every different sport over the last 10, 15 years here. Like, parents are actually pretty level headed. And like, you see parents not only root for kids who are not only their kids, but they root for kids that are, you know, running for other schools or running for other teams because they want to see it. And, you know, I don't think there's anything cooler than someone who's about to do a high jump or a long jump, and then you start seeing the entire crowd start clapping in unison, and then they get ready to you know, try to lift somebody up. And it doesn't matter where they're from. That's the thing about it. I don't know. So, but anyway, we spent the whole night last night outside in the rain, and it was nasty. So a lot of those state district meets going on right now, so it was kind of fun to do that. All right, so Kevin Stefanski, again, was on the station this morning, and we already talked about a few of the things when it came to quarterback. But he also wanted to talk a little bit about draft position. And, you know, we all kind of sit here, and Jeff, you know, we do this, and I think part of it is you label players by where they've been drafted. It's just, it is a natural thing that happens, right?
It sticks with them their entire career.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, sixth round pick.
His entire career.
His entire career.
But for him, it's the fact that he was able to overcome sixth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
And to go on and win Super Bowl. So now you have a quarterback that was drafted in the third round, and then you have a quarterback who was drafted in the fifth round.
Right.
And, you know, does that matter? Does it matter? Like, to us on the outside, you're going to sit here and say, well, every team passed on Dylan Gabriel at least twice, and every team passed on Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, at least, what, four plus times. So, and that's the way you end up looking at them as they continue to play the game. He talked about that. Does it matter where they're picked?
I've been around so many players in this game that were late round draft picks or first round picks or weren't drafted. Once they walk in the building, you don't carry that with you. Nobody cares.
Is that true or not?
Once you're in there.
I was thinking
when he said that?
Huh.
I thought this. Think about, you know, your image of guys in OTAs and everything else. What do you have? You have guys wearing an orange helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You have guys, you know, with a jersey number on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have their name on tape slapped across the front of the helmet in most cases.
Right.
So that the coaches know who this person is. Because, mm-hmm. you know, they're not going to know everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere are they identified by where they were acquired. It doesn't say draft second round. It doesn't say undrafted free agent. It doesn't say trade. It doesn't say anything. All it says is you're in an orange helmet with a jersey on and your name. And at that point, it doesn't matter, Andy. You're competing against the other guy over here. Who cares where anybody was drafted? And that's the beauty of this. Once you come in and go, look at Brock Purdy. You know, talk about a guy who's the odds were stacked against him. You know, he's going up against Trey Lance, who they traded first-round picks to move up to number three to take. And then, you know, he's the last guy taken in the draft. Well, who performed better?
Hmm.
It didn't say on Trey Lance's helmet, third overall pick, we gave up first rounders to get him. It said Lance, it said Purdy. And Kyle Shanahan said, this guy's better. We're going to play him. And they did. And that's the same situation the Browns are dealing with and anybody else might be dealing with.
Yeah, I wonder if sometimes even just the fact that you're drafted versus unrestricted free agent. Sometimes that, you know, there's also another stigma that goes with that. Here's where I think it matters.
Teams, I would think, Andy, would err on the side of giving the guy that they thoroughly scouted and drafted and invested something in, a draft pick. I would think that guy would get more looks. But if the other guy comes in and is really good, that's the bottom line. Really is.
But when you look at this, the Browns tend to, and I think they've kind of changed over the last 2 years. I really feel like there's been a little bit of a sway away from saying, okay, we have to hang on to our guys. And I think time is part of that too. You know, you want to get through draft classes, but you're still sitting on, like, you wonder, okay, David Bell's hurt, but, you know, David Bell still sitting around since 22 as a third rounder.
So well, they moved on from Schwartz.
Yeah, but it's difficult. Like, they don't really want to do that, especially when you draft a kicker, right?
Yeah. I don't get that one. But that's okay.
So I think that the number that sits after your name for the round that you were drafted in is good for longevity. Is that a fair way to put it? You're going to get more of a shot.
As long as you come in and you show glimpses of why they drafted you. If you come in and you stink, Andy, they gotta chalk it up to, well, we missed. We missed on that one. Done. We missed. And you can't – roster spots are too valuable to just leave them sitting there and put a guy on it who you don't think can play. You know, you missed. Raiders missed on Jamarcus Russell. Well, he didn't last very long. I mean, you get rid of these guys.
No, it's true. It's that 2014 draft that still haunts me left and right. And it's not so much Johnny Manziel. It was Justin Gilbert.
Well, sure, but he didn't last very long.
What did he end up? He ended up playing 35 games. He stayed in the league for 3 years.
Yeah, that's not very long for a guy you took that high.
How does that happen? And he only was here for two. Like, how does that happen?
Which proves my point completely.
Because when you don't, and I think Justin Gilbert's a perfect example of this. When you don't go see a guy, you don't go talk to a guy, you don't do a boatload of research into him, and he shows up and he doesn't own an alarm clock and everything else that went into it, you start to see the flaws of the people who made the mistake of drafting him in the first place. And I think that's what we have to chalk Justin Gilbert up to, is that the people who were in charge at the time made a horrendous, unforgivable mistake, and they are no longer employed because of that mistake. And I think that's it. Like, it's almost like you're always going to have outliers to every single rule. I would take Justin Gilbert and throw that one in the outlier bin, because the Browns messed that up almost as badly as Justin Gilbert messed that up.
It's true. You look at that draft, man. How many years did that draft set this franchise back? I mean, the two single biggest mistakes in the last, decade, that draft... And tell me if I'm wrong, because you can think of something else. And Deshaun Watson. I mean, they're the two biggest mistakes that really the fans are still paying the price for.
Fans aren't paying the price.
Well, if you like winning there.
Well, that's a different story.
If you want to feel like you're getting value for your ticket. Although, what are you guaranteed? A seat and the opportunity to watch.
Correct.
You know, 11
you don't
guys
like what you see, don't buy a ticket.
Yeah.
And the potential for fun.
Now we're talking.
I do want to play one more cut here too, and we'll talk about a little bit more of this when we come back and what it might actually mean. Kevin also talked about, you know, you've got quarterbacks that transferred throughout college. So let's dip into that, and then we'll go to break here in a second. So let's
when you go somewhere new, you have to get to know your teammates. You got to get to rhythm up with the receivers. You have to be in a new environment and fit in. So all of that, I would say, has certainly prepared a guy like Dylan and any player that's been through a similar experience. I think that prepares you for walking into that locker room for the first time in the NFL.
There you go.
It is interesting, though, that we used to look at guys that would transfer from school to school in college and look down upon them and say, well, why wouldn't that guy work out there? And didn't he have, you know, not school spirit, but didn't he want to be a part of that? And now all of a sudden he's at another school and you're like,
Kevin said, in chatting with the boys, he said Joe Flacco mentioned that when he was at the combine, the first thing that every team asked him was, well, why did you transfer? Why that didn't work? And think about it now. Dylan Gabriel played for three schools. And Kevin said, well, you know, that's the way that goes now. We assume that everybody has transferred at least once.
Does that make a quarterback better? Because what he's saying is that it could be helpful in the NFL. Because you've forced yourself into a new situation with all new teammates to give yourself the opportunity. I think that if you're an athlete and you're trying to play in college, you're just looking for anywhere where you can be on the field while the clock is rolling. I don't think it matters even what school you're at. And now you might have delusions of grandeur of being, you know, in that 0.001% that wants to pick a school because you know you're going to win a national championship or you're going to have the opportunity to do that. I get that, but that doesn't play out all the time. I'm curious what folks think about that. Has that changed? Like the way we look at these things. Also, I want to ask you a question about an underrated player in particular, and I'll bring that up in a second. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps 92.3 The Fan.